bow us in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we just humbly, reverently, in worship, Lord, in the truth and love, Father, we just come before you and ask you to help us this morning to deliver thy word according to the dictates of your Holy Spirit, and by the words which you spoke through your vindicated prophet, mouth to mouth. Father, we ask you to help us to get ready for the going home, realizing, O God, that the earth is poisoned, the water is poisoned, the air is poisoned, food is poisoned, O God. And Father, your own words from your Son said that if you didn't shorten the days, no life would be saved. So Father, we just ask you to help us, Lord. May these two messages today help us to draw a little bit closer to thee, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Good to see you. God, who at sundry times, and in various different times, and in diverse manners, in various different manners, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Notice that Paul says here that God had spoken to the prophets throughout various different times, and in there he took on many different methods and forms. So in this one sentence we see Paul speaking of one God, the only true God, using different methods and forms to speak to the fathers through many different time frames. In other words, the one God used many different forms and methods over a great span of time. So out from what Paul is telling us is that one true God doesn't change his message, but he certainly changes his form and his method. Now this morning I'm going to pick up at paragraph 47 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And I'm borrowing heavily from Brother Vail's thoughts from his sermon on the subject because I could not come up with better words to say it. I think he said it wonderfully. So I'm going to give to you the best that I can using God's prophet and his teacher. So we pick up at paragraph 47 where Brother Branham said, now notice, through the ages the same way, his prophets, he has revealed himself. That wasn't exactly prophets, they were gods. He said so. For what they spoke was God's word. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. They were gods. Jesus said himself, he said, if you can condemn me when I say that I'm the Son of God, and your own law says that to them whom the word of the Lord came to was God's. See? So it was God formed in a man called a prophet. See? And the word of the Lord came to this man, so it wasn't the prophet. The prophet was just the veil. But the word was God. The man's word won't act like that. See what I mean? It cannot act in that manner, but potentially it was God, see? Because he was the Word of God in the form of a man, called a man. Now notice he never changed his nature, only his form. In Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he did not change his nature when he come. He was always that prophet, all down through the ages, same thing, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. See, he cannot change his nature, but he changed his form. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just changed his mask. Now, I'd like to break down this paragraph and tie it right back into the scripture, which we read for our text this morning. And this in this paragraph 47, Brother Branham says, from the unveiling of God, notice through the ages. So he's speaking of the same word that Paul said in sundry times. Then Brother Branham adds, the same way, but he's not talking about the same vessel. In other words, God uses that a vessel, a prophet, but it's not the same prophet. You see? Then he adds, by his prophets, He has revealed himself. Them wasn't exactly prophets, they were gods. Now, that statement has been taken out of context by those who oppose Brother Branham, and they use it to try to claim that he was off the word somehow. And notice that those who criticize him do not know what he meant by it. And instead of investigating why he said it, they just resort to being critical. But if you follow through with what he said, with what he says next, the very next thing he says, you'll see that he ties what he said in with what Jesus himself said about the prophets. So he said, and of course, this he that William Branham is referring to here is Jesus Christ himself, and he tells us why Jesus said that they were gods. For what they spoke was God's word. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. They were gods. Jesus said himself, he said, how can you condemn me when I say that I'm the Son of God, and your own law says that to them whom the word of the Lord came was God's. So Brother Branham is not speaking out of turn, but he's telling you what Jesus himself said about the prophets. All right? I've seen on websites in different places people criticizing Brother Branham, saying, well, Brother Branham talked about you know, that we're all gods. And they just don't understand the difference between the word God and the word Lord. You know, Jehovah is Lord. Okay, Elohim is not Lord. Elohim is gods. And the word Elohim is plural, and there's many gods. There's many objects of worship. I mean, your wallet could be your god. You know, your $100 bill could be your god. And you know, it's an object of worship. So, in John chapter 10, verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, notice, not if thou be a Christ or if thou be Christ, but if thou be the Christ, if thou be the anointed. In other words, are you the Christ? Just plainly tell us. And Jesus answering them said, I told you, and you believe not. All right? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now, he's talking about vindication here. God spoke it. He echoed it. And God brought it to pass. But watch what Jesus says next. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answering them said, many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of those good works do you stone me? In other words, this ministry has been vindicated, he's saying. And if God has vindicated this ministry, what's your fuss? You see? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work, we stone thee not. In other words, for the vindication, we stone thee not. But they didn't call it vindication, they call it good work. But for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. In other words, they didn't have a problem with the works of God, the things that God was doing. They had a problem with his mouth, with what he was teaching. And Jesus answering them said, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Now listen, these people had a problem. They loved the miracles, like Brother Ram said, but when he came to the doctrine, they hated him. And the problem is that they do the same thing today. It was William Branham. They loved the miracles, but they hated the doctrine that he taught. And so it comes down to this. They hate the word. They hate the word. And what is the word? The word is God. And if you call them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. You know, Brother Brown said that about every ministry. He said, if your church doesn't have the works of God in it, he said, don't believe it. Don't believe the confession. You can't call yourself a Christian if you're not Christ-like. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. He didn't say one person, William Branham. Otherwise, the Apostle Paul didn't do the works of God. Peter didn't do the works of God. Malachi and Martin, I mean, Martin and Columba and St. Patrick and the rest of them didn't do the works of God. All right? Well, we know Brother Bosworth had 225,000 confirmed mails, not emails. We get those today. But mail. People had to take the time, put a stamp on it, write the letter, and send it. 225,000 people healed. They say, well, you know, that wasn't John 14:12, that was Mark 16. Okay, I'll say Mark 16. What about eardrums? That they didn't have any and they were created. How is that different from the eyeballs that Brother Brown prayed for and the two little girls received eyeballs? What's the difference? It's a body part that was missing. And God created a body part. You said, well, that's just reserved for William Branham, prophet of God. No, the sign of Messiah was reserved for the prophet. But the works of Christ, Brother, I said, I've shown you many times. There's one particular quote I just love. I'll just print it up and send it out. Seven different times in the same paragraph, Brother Brown says, when he defines he says it's anybody, anyone, and every believer, any man. So how are we to argue against a vindicated prophet? I just don't understand. Just have your own life right with God. That's all I say. The Jews answering him said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Not blasphemy. In other words, the things that you're saying. In other words, you disagree with our doctrine, so therefore we don't believe you. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't come down to doctrine. I mean, doctrine is Christ, well, the doctrine is Christ, but it doesn't come down to whether I believe your doctrine or you believe my doctrine. It's whether we believe God, His Word. His Word said He'd come a certain way, He came a certain way, they didn't believe when He came. So it's the same thing today. If you call them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of Him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I am in Him. Therefore they sought again to take Him, but He escaped out of their hand. Now Jesus did not make that up. Jesus was quoting from the prophet David, Psalm 82:6, where he said, I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And that is exactly what William Branham is pointing to when he says the same thing. In other words, the purpose of this sermon is to tell us something that may be going over the heads of the people. Like Brother Vail did when he taught on the Parousia of Christ, where he made the statement, no God, no prophet, no prophet, no God. That was back in 1982 at the Columbus Convention, and many of you weren't even born then. I remember it very well. Because he told us that the reason we have a prophet on the scene is because God Himself is on the scene. Go through all the ages, all the prophets, and you see God was on the scene. In the days of judges, no. But in the days of prophets, yes. And where you have a prophet on the scene, you will always have God Himself on the scene. And where there is no prophet on the scene is because God Himself is not on the scene. So that should make it very clear that God identifies with man through the instrument of His choosing, which is His prophets. Then Brother Brown continues by saying, so it was God formed in a man called a prophet, see, and the word of the Lord came to this man, so it wasn't the prophet was the veil, but the word was God. Now this revelation alone ought to send you into rapturing faith. Notice, and let's break down what he just said here, because one thought at a time, just let's look at the first part. He said, so it was God formed in a man. And that man happened to be called a prophet. All right, so we have two things to think about here. Number one, God was formed in a man. And we must ask yourself, what does that mean? How could God form Himself in a man? Well, the best definition I could come up with from the dictionary is a particular condition, character, or mode in which something appears. So the very character, the very nature, the very attitudes and characteristics of God was appearing in a vessel. So we see that God used the body of different men with different personalities and different shapes and different sizes to bring the same message to the people. That does not mean that Himself, the man Himself, is God, but it means that God used their form, their shape, their vessel, in order to make contact with and bring forth His message to the people. Now, the best thing that I know where this is presented is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, just like Moses. Unto him shall you hearken. Unto him shall you pay close attention to what I will tell you. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. The people were trembling in their boots when God appeared in the form of that pillar of fire. And let's face it, they had reason to tremble, because that pillar of fire destroyed the armies of Egypt. It was a deadly fire. So the people say, you know what? We hear the voice. We see the sign. Oh, please, just speak to Moses. We'll be fine with that. So that's what he did. When God appeared in the pillar of fire, the people were afraid. So they said, well, tell you what, God, we're asking you to instead of speaking to us directly, please send us a man like Moses to speak to us, because we are too afraid of your great presence that is veiled in that pillar of fire which destroyed the Egyptian army. So God said, okay, if that's the way you want it, if that's the way you want me to speak to you, so be it. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they've spoken. Good plan, people. Now you're catching on. And then God says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now, in order for this to happen, God has to make sure he chooses a man whose nature is so obedient that he will not even think of adding a few of his own words to what God is going to tell him. And he had such a man in his firstborn son, Jesus. And notice he had his, well, in all the prophets. These are men who were very obedient, very humble men. They weren't boastful. They weren't proud. They weren't arrogant. They didn't have their own way, their own thought coming. He chose a man, Paul, who he had to completely, look, he had to change Paul. He had to change Moses. He had to beat him down, humble him down. Can you imagine sitting on your back for 3 days completely blind, can't see a thing? The last thing you saw was the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, the pillar of fire. And you realize, uh-oh. He said, I'm Jesus. I've been fighting God. I thought my whole life was dedicated to serving him. And I found out I didn't even have a clue who he is. Yeah. Moses, same way. Take off your shoes, Moses. Don't even walk here with your shoes on. It's a burning bush. But he knew there was something speaking out of that burning bush. All right. So God had to predestinate the man. And Brother Brown goes on to say in another paragraph where he says God made the, you know, he made the man, he shaped the man, he formed the man, he gave the man his character, everything else, in order to make the sound the right sound. Just like a man would, if he were making a bunch of bells to play a tune, he'd make each one, form each one out of the same metal, the same brass, the same, you know, all different components, but just a little bit more on this one, a little bit less on this one, etc., to get that certain sound. All right? Now in John 14:31 we read, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, God gave me commandment. I'm obeying his commandments. John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself. These aren't my words, he's saying, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, and that's all I'm doing. I'm just doing what he told me to do. John 12:50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus was a prophet. A prophet indeed. Mighty indeed. John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Oh, he didn't have the power except for God told him he did. So then he said, okay, whatever God says about me, I'm going to do. God calls you bride, you're bride. Don't let anybody tell you you're not. See? Now back to Deuteronomy 18, we'll pick up at verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Well, brother, there you are. I don't know about you, but I think it will be much easier for a person to take heed to the prophet than to answer to God why you didn't take heed to that prophet. God just doesn't send a prophet to exercise in futility. He sends a prophet to speak on his behalf. And that ought to tell you what the prophet has to say is of utmost importance. And if that prophet does not come and tell you what God told him to tell you, that prophet is in great danger himself. He says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to say, or that speaks in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So the prophet of God, every time he comes up to the pulpit, he better not add his own thinking to what he's saying, or he could be killed. God could take him. And that's with any, because English word for prophet is preacher. Too many preachers get up to the pulpit and they just say what they want to say. They don't say what the prophet says. That's why we put it up here for you to see. I'm not just jacking my jaws, brother, sister. This is coming from a vindicated prophet. It's coming from the Bible, which is vindicated also. Now, I'd like to read that to some of those Pentecostal preachers who get on the air and are always saying, there's, you know, one particular guy's true news, you know. Well, the Lord told me back in 1987, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord told me in 1997, blah, 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 blah. Did he? They brag as though they have a way with God, that God is under obligation to them, as though God answers to them and not vice versa. Well, you see, God told me. So what you're saying is, thus saith the Lord? Well, not really. I know. Then don't say God told me. You might say, I felt led in my heart. But then who's leading? If he doesn't come back to the word, forget it. Now, like Oral Roberts, you know, he would grab the person in a very demanding way. He would say, Jesus, heal! Jesus, heal! Like, you know, God is some sort of a dog. And he wants him to follow. You know, heal, dog, heal, dog. You don't do that. Brother Brian would take the child in his arms and just hug a child like it's his own child. Lord Jesus, you know, could you give this child a pair of eyes? God does it. You know, I I've been around for a long time, and I've seen preachers get up there and try to, you know, pray over people, and they're yelling at the devil as if the devil can be badgered by words, as if the devil can be coerced by your hard attitude. You know, sometimes nonsense in the name of the pulpit, in the name of... And this is not a joke. This has actually happened. But it might sound like a joke. A preacher one time, he was praying, a pastor was praying for his people coming through the line. There was a woman who, a bug had thrown into her ear. And pastor prayed, and nothing happened. So one of the deacons got this John the Baptist faith, you know, and he got up there. He said, Pastor, I really feel the anointing to get rid of this bug that's in her ear. He said, okay, go ahead and pray for her. So he puts his mouth up to the woman's ear and says, now listen, you listen here, bug. He said, if you can't turn around, you just back out. And that was his praying for the sick. All right. That's about as much spirituality as a lot of people have today. They don't believe Mark 16. They don't believe John 14, 12. They believe somehow 60 years ago, God quit healing the sick. God quit raising the dead. God quit doing the supernatural. And yet the prophet of God says the pillar of fire is or will lead us to the money. If he's still leading, he's still here. If he's still here, he's still a supernatural God. It's just too bad he's amongst the natural people. But we're supposed to be a supernatural people, because if we've got the Holy Ghost in us, then we have the supernatural living in us. Now, because look what God says next. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? That's the problem we have. People don't know the word. They don't study the word. They don't listen to the word. They don't read the word. You spend a lot more time on Facebook than you do in the Bible. I hope that's not making anybody run out and cry, but you know what? You ought to. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now by converse thinking, then we ought to be well afraid of the man who speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing does come to pass. Because God is with that man, and you have to either be a fool or a real gutsy, stupid person, really, to question whatever it is that he tells you in the name of the Lord. Because after all, what man has power to make his own words come to pass? But if you watch these Pentecostal preachers that say that the Lord told me this or that, when the thing doesn't happen, they never go back and say, well, you know what, I was wrong. And sometimes they might say, well, I was wrong, I missed that. Well, then why don't you admit that then God didn't tell you that? They don't do that. Oh, God must have been wrong. Yeah, right. But listen, it's not about the vessel, it's about God. And how dare anyone do anything on their own and then say, God told me to do it? And how dare you say you got the Holy Ghost and live in sin? Because his Bible says, he that is born of God does not sin. And the word means initial. We'll get into that tonight. Now that's counterpart to the 70s where people were saying the devil made me do it. That's what Eve said. Well, the devil can't make you do anything that you don't want to do first. I remember years ago we had a brother we were praying for, and the brother was a fornicator. Just outright, he was a fornicator. So I go pray for him, and I tell him, look, brother, you're going to go to hell. All fornicators and adulterers are going to go to hell. So anyway, one day I got just real kind of tired after 6 months doing this with the brother, just praying with him and different things. So I went to Brother Vail and said, Brother Vail, what do I say to this guy? He said, ask him if he enjoys it. So the next time, I asked the brother, I said, are you still committing fornication? Yeah. I said, do you enjoy it? You see right there, the devil can't make you do anything You do it because you enjoy it.
That's it.
And I'm going to go even further with that. MK Ultra, which was a government secret operation that they would drug people and then send them audible voices that would tell them to murder this one or do this or do that. If the devil can't make you do anything against your will, then how do you think a man with a few drugs can do it? Now, I'll admit that the drug may loosen you up and make you more relaxed about doing things that you might be confined not to do because of morals or because of your standing in the church. But you have a free will, and God made you that way. And the serpent did not rape Eve. He seduced her. And to be seduced, she had to give in to the seduction. She had to turn her will over to his. Bill Cosby used a drug called Quaaludes, mixed with alcohol, to make his many victims feel relaxed and resulted in a drunken, sleepy high. But that is the feeling in the body. Yet God gave us a mind that is greater than our body, and he gave you free moral agency to consent or not consent. Unless they were forcefully raped, they weren't raped, they were seduced. Doesn't matter if they were drugged or not drugged. If you give into it, you're guilty of it. And that's the facts. God don't make you do nothing. The devil don't make you do nothing. You do it on your own will. You do it of your own accord. So if the devil can't make you do it, then you're going to be held accountable for all acts done in the body. That's what the Bible says. And that includes obeying the voice of God by hearkening to it or just ignoring it. And Brother Brown tells us that a man's words won't act like that. Like that of a vindicated word, that a prophet who speaks only what God tells him, because God is obligated to bring to pass what he has told the prophet to say. Because after all, a man doesn't have the power to back up his own words, but God does. He says the man's words won't act like that. See what I mean? It cannot act in that manner, but potentially it was God. See? He was the Word of God in the form of a man, called a man. Notice, he never changed his nature, only his form. Hebrews 13:8 said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he did not change his nature. And when he come, he is always that prophet all down through the age. Same thing, the word, the word, the word, the word. See, he cannot change his nature, but he changed his form. Hebrews 13:8 said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just changed his mask. Yesterday, he is the same yesterday, one form. Today, another form. And forever, another form. But it's the same God all the way through. Just changing his mask. Now, the word form may not be the exact word that we might use, but God's prophet chose to use that word. So this is prophetic thinking. Now, this is Brother Vail's words, actually. Not human thinking, as you and I might do. God formed in a man. Now, we know there's really no scripture for that in the sense of a definite statement somewhere. But we know that God said to Jeremiah, I knew thee before thou wast formed in the womb. God foreknowing and the forming, and God bringing about the forming. And now we hear him say, God formed in a prophet. So let's read what he says next. And the word of the Lord came to this man. So it wasn't the prophet. The prophet was just the veil. But the word was God. So the word of the Lord that came to the prophet was God. All right. Now we find the word of the Lord coming into this man. And now then God being that word, is formed in that particular man. And you will find, of course, that will not only be as far as literal word is concerned, like the word came to Moses concerning in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and so on. The word coming through Paul, you know, God doing so and so, which is what we are used to. But we can see that God's word manifesting through the characteristics that are in the word and now coming through or being expressed or manifested through the flesh of the man. So when you see the man, you see God. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, for the Father dwelleth in me. Jesus was the expression of the Word. God is the Word. All right? And the Word of the Lord came to this man, not another man. So it wasn't the prophet. The prophet was the veil, but the Word was God. All right. Then, what is it that is being formed in the man? It is the Word of the Lord being formed, line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word, because we see it manifesting in the way he does and the word he uses to speak. Now, God does not just limit this to his prophets. Because the word of the Lord says there will be a people who will be adopted. That's not just the prophets, although prophets will be adopted. There will be a people, a sons of God, who will manifest as sons of God. Right? There are going to be a people, a bride, who will be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Notice conformed. So what is that that conforms them? It's the word of the Lord in them. And they conform their body around that word of the Lord. Do you understand? It's like if you had an invisible man, and he still has fingers, but you didn't know, you couldn't see him, he's invisible. So then he puts on a glove, and now you see the form of the hand in the glove, right? All right. Then you can say, that's an attribute. 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 But the man is invisible, but the form that the man is in is expressing those different five different attributes. Well, that's how God does with you. His Holy Spirit uses your vessel to express the attributes and characteristics of His Word. That's why we're changed from glory to glory, from doxa to doxa, from opinions, values, and judgments to opinions, values, and judgments, from image to image. All right? So what is formed in the man is the Word of the Lord is being formed in the man. Line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word. Because we see it manifesting in the way that he does and the words he uses to speak. Again, he said in paragraph 47, see what I mean? It cannot act in that manner, but potentially it was God. Now, he's not talking about how the prophet acts. He's talking about how the word of God in the prophet acts. It's not about the prophet himself. It's all about God. The word of God in the prophet. He said, the man's words won't act like that. Now, there you go back to Deuteronomy 18. Because just saying it is not what brings it to pass. Because if that were so, then anyone who said God's word would bring the thing to pass. That's why it's okay, it's a good thing to talk the word. But it's a better thing to live the word. Like Brother Branham said, don't preach me a sermon, live it. You see, like Brother Branham said about Moses, he said, if Moses would have just spoke to the Red Sea, nothing would have happened. He said, Brother Branham said, Moses had to put his foot into the water for that water to part. You see, you got not only to hear it, but you got to recognize it and then act upon it. If you don't act upon it, then you really haven't recognized it, even though you might have heard it. So he said, the man's words won't act like that. There you are, going back to Deuteronomy 18, because just saying it is not what brings it to pass. If that were so, then anyone who said God's word would bring that thing to pass. But it's the man yielding himself to what God tells him to say. It sets the scene for God then to back up what God said to the man to say, showing it is God and it's not man. In other words, look, before Brother Branham came along, Darby, they called him Elijah. They said he was Elijah Malachi 4. And there was others throughout the ages. They thought they were the prophet of Malachi 4. William Branham was not the first person that people thought that. But God backed up William Branham. Was vindicated, not only vindication, but was sign of Messiah. The others might even have had some healings and stuff like that. But they certainly didn't have sign of Messiah. Alright? So it's not just you saying it that makes it happen. It's actually when you step into it and then God brings it to pass. Like Brother Branham said, you know something is the will of God if you see it in His Word, if it's quickened in your heart, and then you see it, you see it coming to pass. Alright? Because no man can make it come to pass. Only God can do that. So it's either got to be God saying it, even though it's said through the man, or it won't come to pass. So Brother Branham said, see what I mean? And he's talking about God, or the Word of God, being formed in the prophet, which is actually the manifestation through the attributes of the Word of the Lord there, and the attributes of the power of God proving that the Word is in the man. In other words, the power of God, the vindication. All right. Now he said, this is not something that is normal, it's super normal. Now he said, but potentially it was God. Now, potential is not the real thing, so therefore, this man, the prophet, is not God, per se, but he's the veil. As Brother Brown said, and you will find the Word of God coming to him and working through him and showing that this is the same God is doing it. Now, I may not like that, but that's what he's telling us here. Again, Brother Brown says, see, he was the Word of God in the form of a man. Now, that's the prophet. He became the Word of God in the form of a man. Now, the man's on the outside, but the Word of God is on the inside. But the man acts according to what he said. And it can't be said unless it is in the heart first to say it. Because the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So he thinks it first and meditates upon the word of God, then he speaks it, then he steps into what he said, and that proves that it was God in him working to will and to do. You see, that one scripture alone you ought to meditate every day. It is God working in me to will and to do. Because if you're not doing, then there's no willing. And if you're not willing, then God is not working in you to will and to do. Then you need to get to your knees and say, God, strike me dead. Just lay me out. Because I'd rather be dead in an instant than to go on living a life that's perverted and that's wrong. Do something, God, please. Be willing to die to yourself. Now notice he never changed his nature. He never changed his nature, only his form. Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now notice how Brother Brown ties Hebrews 13:8 with the prophet. So you must remember that. So he did not change his nature when he came. He is always that prophet, all down through the age, the same thing. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word. See, he cannot change his nature, but he changed his form. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just changed his mask. Now in paragraph 46 he says, This was a part of his way. This is the way that he manifests himself to us, manifests the eternal word of God, Jehovah made flesh. Like in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And then in the next paragraph, which we've already read, but he says in paragraph 47, he is always that prophet. All down through the ages, the same thing. The word, the word, the word. See, he cannot change his nature, but he changed his form. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just changed his mask. So whenever there's prophet on the scene, because God's on the scene, God's using the prophet, just think in terms of like a mannequin. Okay, God's fingers are moving the mannequin's hands go up, his mouth goes open, and then God is a great ventriloquist, and he speaks mouth to mouth. And so when you hear that man speaking, it's God speaking to you. But his mask has been prophet all the way through. Then why don't we read it this way? In the beginning was the word who was what? The prophet. In the beginning was the prophet, and the prophet was with God, and the prophet was God, and the prophet is God, and God's his own prophet. Not Jeremiah, not Ezekiel, not Isaiah, not Elijah, not Elisha, and not William Branham. Those are merely the figures in the flesh that God particularly, by predestination, brought them out in a certain way so that they would absolutely reflect what God wanted, to be true to that word and to say it no matter where the chips fell, and let God back them up, and they just stood there. And that's Hebrews 13:8, if you really understand it. That's what Brother Branham could come along and say, look, it's not me. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. He said, it's not what I know, it's what I've just surrendered myself to. He speaks true. It's not me, he said, it's him. You see, it's God, 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 all the way down. That's why Brother Bill would always say, get your eyes off the vessel. That's why when people get hung up on John 14:12 and say it's just one man, they got their eyes on a vessel. He wasn't a man. Brilliant man could do diddly squat. It was God in the man. And if that same God is in you, it'll do the same things. You see, in the role that you're supposed to play, which is not sign of Messiah. All right? Now you could also say in this hour, because the prophet is also called the Son of Man, you could say in the beginning was the Son of Man, and the Son of Man was with God, and the Son of Man was God. See, there's no change, brother, sister, there's no change. He can change his mask, he can change the hour, but God himself does not change. Now he always was there, he always was these things in the beginning, God, everything in God, which was to be manifested, and that is God manifesting before us. And if he chooses now to manifest through a prophet, then that's exactly what he's going to do. Now, people keep telling themselves the fact that God works through a fivefold ministry and through the body of Christ, which we call the bride. But if it comes to believing that God was in the prophets, they don't want that. Because that puts the bride under the constraint to hearken and obey all that this prophet says. That puts them in a straitjacket, that if you hearken, you're okay. But if you got another thought coming, you're not okay. And people don't like that. So what Brother Branham is telling us here is that when you have a prophet come on the scene, you had better understand it has nothing to do with the man, but it has all to do with God. That brings it down to the very narrow confines of our entrance into the present truth. In other words, if you claim to be fivefold ministry and you say anything other than what the prophet of God in this hour or the Bible has told you, you're not a true prophet, or you're not a true fivefold minister. All right. Then Brother Brown continues, like I change from husband when my child is born, then I'm a father. When my grandchild is born, I'm grandfather. See? But I don't change. It's still me. See? And that's God. And it's just that I change. See? It just changes your form. See? Now notice, and nature changes it down through from a young man to a middle aged to an old man. And there you are. See? You just change your form. So what he's saying is that you're changing your role. In other words, you're the same person, but now you're thinking in a certain direction, which is necessary to think, and it's so manifest because that is the requirement of you now in relation to others. In other words, like my granddaughter was saying, she was saying, girls don't kiss, only parents can kiss on the lips. Granddaughters can't kiss grandparents and their parents on the lips. I said, that's very good. You see, that's your role to play. When you get married, you can kiss your husband on the lips, but you can't kiss your brother on the lips. You can't kiss, you know, your friends on the lips, because that's part of your role as a wife. All right? So, in that same mindset, then Brother Ramsey said, we act toward our grandchildren in a different way than we act toward our wife, or we act toward our children. All right? So, therefore, God always thinking of us and always looking at our needs. He's got to play the role that is relative to our hour. You see? And to do that, there's got to be a word for it. Now, the average mind does not want that because it can't take that. Now, you couldn't say a little fellow stand up here, 16-year-old, say he was a grandfather. He couldn't be. His form has to be changed. And a few years changes it, then he becomes grandpa. See what I mean? But it's the same person all the time, the same person, God all the time. In this way, he reveals himself to his people in doing this. Now notice, through the age of the pillar of fire, he reveals himself to his people. In the age of Jesus, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of the Holy Spirit, as Son of God, Son of David, he always reveals himself in the manner to the people, making the people to know. He's veiled behind something, notice, and in the same way or the same nature every time. Now you almost think that something was interjected here that was not wanted by Brother Branham, but that's not true. What he's saying here is, all right, there's a revelation when he's pillar of fire. There's a revelation of it when he was Son of Man on earth. There's a revelation through the ages of Son of God. And then he said the revelation's coming of the Son of David. And that's wonderful, because no man can begin to even think what it's going to be like at that time. The Bible says no eyes have seen or ears heard or entered into the heart of them what he has in store for them that love him. So we have hardly got a word about it. And when the millennium breaks forth, though we crown him Son of David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will not absolutely take that authoritative position till he's upon here on his throne. There will be a temple and everything else, according to Brother Branham, which we don't understand very much about. But we are not required to know what is in the future, because God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. We are just required to receive the manifestation of the word when it does come to pass. But there will be an unfolding, a revelation of 1,000 years of Son of David, and we will live to see it. Therefore, you're not really required at this point to understand everything about the resurrection ministry. You have a type in the Alpha, you know it's going to come. But when it does come, you're required to receive it if you're going to be part of it. Just like the shout. You know, these people want to say, well, the bride goes through the tribulation, this and that. And they said, you know, there's no scripture for a rapture, this and that. Well, the Bible says we'll be caught up together. Caught up together, what does that mean? There's your rapture, being caught up together. When is it? Shout, voice, and trump. See, they have no clue. I mean, this whole ministry that God has performed himself in the Omega, they have no, the world, the church world has no clue about it. They have no clue what shout, voice, and trump. They think that somehow the Jesus will appear in the heavens and with a great shout and a voice and a trump, and it's all just one thing, and all of a sudden we go up through the sky. That's ridiculous. It's a period of time. All right? But God will always, always make known himself to his people at the proper time. Now, your faith is not built upon some unsubstantiated and mythical something of your imagination, but most people's is. Our hope is to be built on nothing less than Jesus Christ in righteousness. On Christ, a solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand, and Christ is the Word. The revelation of this hour is revealing God, Son of Man, and he's always reveals himself in this manner. Getting ready to close, Brother Branham says now, but it's the same person all the time, the same person, God all the time. In this way, he reveals himself to his people in doing this. Now notice, through the age of the pillar of fire, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of Jesus, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of the Holy Spirit, as Son of God, Son of David, he always reveals himself in that manner to his people, making the people to know him. He's veiled behind something, notice, in the same way or the same nature every time. So look at Moses was a prophet, and God revealed himself to the people through the prophet Moses. The same with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah. And he did the same thing through his prophet's son, Jesus. Now notice that he was veiled behind the pillar of fire, then he was veiled behind human flesh. And now he's the veil in the pillar of fire and also a veil in the prophet. God veiled in Jesus to do the work of redemption at the cross. Now if God was veiled to do the redemption that God had, then God had to have a special veil, a lamb of God, his firstborn son. God could not die as a spirit. He's eternal, Brother Bram says, but he had to put on a mask and act the part of death. He did die, but he couldn't do it in his God form. So we ask ourselves, what is a God form? It's spirit. The Bible teaches God is spirit. He had to do it in son form. Now, it doesn't say he had to do it in the form of son or in a son form. He had to do it in son form. Son of man on earth, see, he had to be son form. Then when he returned on Pentecost, he was Son of God again. You see what I mean? Get the idea, okay? So he's talking about the dispensation. So it's not in the form of a son, it's the son form. In other words, what is the form of this hour? Or what hour? Son. That's actually the book of Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in son. He was in the form of prophet. Now he's in the form of son. They were a son of man, but he is the son of man. They pointed forward to him, and he is the one they pointed forward to. Paragraph 50. He had to come into human flesh. And nobody, no sexual desire, because that proves again our statement of the serpent seed. Now this is a beautiful quote here. Sexual, absolutely sex, not apples, but sex. That's right. That had to be. Notice here, see, for any good man. Now look at those prophets back there. But he had to be more than a prophet, see? In order to do that, he had to come virgin birth, showing that virgin birth proved. Now, virgin birth proved he had to be born virgin birth to take the curse off. Now, we're going to talk about that tonight at our communion service, 5 o'clock. He come not in sexual desire, but through virgin birth. And he changes mass from Jehovah to Jesus in order to take the redemption work in the drama that he's acting out in God at the cross. Now, we're going to cut it off here because this starts a new thought here in paragraph 50. But we're just going to take that thought this evening. It's a really beautiful thought. He said he had to be virgin-born birth to take the curse off. Why? Because the curse came by sex. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because you did send a prophet, and you are the prophet. He said, it's not me, my words would fail, but it's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man that we're feeding on. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to feeding on your message. It was not the message of William Branham. It was your message that you gave to him, that he gave to us. He just relayed it. He was just the errand boy. He was the messenger. And yet you are the great messenger. And so, Father, we know that you came down with a shout. It wasn't him. He was just standing there when you did. But, Father, we know that it was you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to knowing you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.